It is a big weekend. It is a super big, tremendous, humongous weekend for the Albany Symphony Orchestra. One of the greatest pianists alive, Andre Watts, takes the stage on January 11th. That is Saturday night. And it will be Symphony Sunday featuring Beethoven on the 12th at the Palace Theater in Albany, which is an amazing concert as well. And it's great news. Two wonderful, wonderful events happening courtesy of the Albany Symphony Orchestra, one of the finest orchestras in the country, led by one of the nation's finest conductors, Maestro David Allen Miller, who is good enough to join us in studio this morning to tell us about all of the merriment that will be happening this weekend in the confines of the Palace Theater.
Hi, Joe. It's great to be with you.
And it's a delight.
Very happy New Year to you. And I trust you had a beautiful vacation and trip to London and Paris. It sounded so exciting.
Yeah, we did. It had a lovely time, and thank you. But now it's a new year, and you think, well, you got good stuff going on.
Rest not.
And I always love when you have your big, you know, your big artist comes in, and it's a big deal. And this year it's Andre Watts, and we were all excited about this, So now it's here, and you did a lovely interview with him that we aired last week, and the guy just seems just lovely.
He's an angel. He's a wonderful man. I've only worked with him once before, and that was here in Albany about 18 years ago when he came and did a special benefit concert for Classical Action, which is a group of classical musicians against AIDS. So imagine 18 years ago was a very powerful, beautiful thing. And he came to Albany, the Palace Theater, and played not one, not two, but three of the biggest, hardest concertos in the repertoire, the Rachmaninoff second, and the two Liszt concertos, for which he's extremely famous, because those were the pieces. One of those was the piece that he made his debut at the age of 16 on with Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic, and he's kind of been a major world artist ever since. So we're so thrilled to have him back, and we're also thrilled because he's playing arguably the most perfect and majestic and important concerto of the entire Romantic period, Brahms' monumental second piano concerto in B-flat, which is just the whole world in a piece. Really an incredible piece of music.
That's a beautiful way to put it, of the world in a piece. I was listening to a portion of I found a video of him playing it, and it's just gorgeous.
It is.
I mean, beautiful. And he, I mean, the music's so expressive, but he's so expressive in it. It's just such a lovely immersive experience.
It is. And it does everything. You know, I mean, there he plays all the Romantic war horses and many of the classical war horses as well. He plays a lot of Beethoven as well as a lot of Rachmaninoff and Liszt and Chopin and Brahms. But this piece somehow, you know, it comes right in the last third, the beginning of the last quarter of the 19th century. I think it was begun in 1878 by Brahms, who at that time was already a really mature composer. He was in his mid 40s, and he already, you know, was acclaimed as the heir to Beethoven, is one of the most important composers in the world and one of the most admired composers in the world. And at this point in his life, he was no longer a young Turk. He was really kind of a grown-up, even though for us today, 40, 45, 46, however old he was, isn't that old. But in his time, he already had the big beard, and he was already this wise, great man who'd mastered everything and had an encyclopedic knowledge of Bach and Beethoven and Mozart and such. And he writes this really gigantic concerto. It's almost 50 minutes, between 45 and 50 minutes, depending on the interpretation. And it's really reputed to be perhaps the hardest, technically hardest concerto in the entire repertoire, barring no other works, even the Rachmaninoff concertos and such, and the Prokofiev concertos. It's so big in the piano and in the hands. It's the kind of thing that Andre really excels at. But it's, as you say, it's got intimacy, it's got romance, it's got nostalgia, it's got passion. Very impressive, amazing piece, and a great privilege for the orchestra and for me to work on with Andre.
And I think that just speaks to both to you and to the orchestra, to bring in these incredible artists and year after year to do wonderful, wonderful performances and to give us an opportunity to see these incredible musicians.
Well, thank you, Joe. We love to do it, and we love to play with these people, and we love our audience, and we hope everybody will come on out and join us for it.
And I joke, but I'm not really joking, which is, you know, it's nice to know that these performers are available in the winter. You know, because usually you only see them in the summertime.
Right, right. At the big venues at Tanglewood, it's back and all that. Yeah.
But, you know, they actually work in the winter, and absolutely. Here they are.
And I always feel like, it was funny because I was working on the Brahms today, and I was thinking, this is the perfect kind of cozy winter music because it's so...
I thought I was listening to that last
it's
night.
It's like
absolutely.
Sitting by the fire. It's so intimate, and there's so much chamber music in it. And
it's just
yeah,
beautiful.
It's really dramatic. And we've put, on the first half, we have a lot of beautiful, I wouldn't say fluffy pieces, but charming pieces, the Forza del Destino Overture by Verdi in honor of his 100th birthday. 200th birthday, and a Strauss waltz, a little bit of residual New Year's Eve celebration, and a charming little new piece by young American composer Dan Visconti, which is called Black Bend. It's about the Cuyahoga River and sort of the ghosts in the river and an imagined train crash, and it's very roots oriented and has all this blues in it, and it's a charming little 6-minute piece. So it's a wonderful, very lovely wintertime program. So you know, January is about the time when we all begin to get cabin fever, especially after the last freezing few days we've had. So it's a great chance to have that communal experience of sitting in a room with a few thousand of your close personal friends, and Andre, who's so inviting and so such an intimate kind of person, just a beautiful person. It's a great chance to have a great time with us.
And then no rest for you because
don my wig.
Or for the orchestra. Then the next day at 3 o'clock on the stage of the Palace Theater, you do this great thing called Sunday Symphony.
Right.
And this is Beethoven Back to the Future. And yes, you don your wig. You get all
I shouldn't say that. I mean, I actually don't have to work at that concert because Beethoven himself is conducting the Sunday afternoon concert. And I should say
Ludwig is himself, very, very busy.
And actually, he's coming in a time machine. This is one of my favorite shows that I love to do. And I do it every, 5 or 10 years or so. So for this generation of kids, they've never seen it. But Beethoven himself will be arriving on the stage at the Palace Theater at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon in this time machine with full Beethoven regalia, crazy hair, and his early 19th century outfit and all. And it's basically My World and Welcome to It, and he plays parts of his overtures and tells the story of his opera Leonora, which became the opera Fidelio, and plays some of his symphonies and talks about his music. And then the sort of coup de théâtre, the highlight of the program, is he reveals that he's working on a new symphony, a 9th symphony, which actually has a chorus in it. And then since there's no chorus around, he invites the audience to become the chorus. So the audience gets to sing the 9th symphony finale, that beautiful da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the Ode to Joy, with the Albany Symphony. So if you come to the concert, you can then tell your great-grandchildren that you sang the world premiere of Beethoven's 9th Symphony. But it's a great show, and this is the first of this season's family concerts, the Sunday Symphonies. There's one each month of January, February, March. Really fun, funny, just an hour-long program, great for kids between the ages of 4 and 104. I should also mention that come a little early because we have this wonderful petting zoo in the lobby at the Palace Theater with all the different instruments, and members of the youth orchestra are graciously helping us. It's a petting zoo.
Beethoven,
I should say it's an instrument petting zoo.
Okay.
And our friends at John Keel Music donate all the instruments for
Child
us.
Child Protective Services coming in.
It's an instrument petting zoo. All we're doing is trying out instruments. So if any of your children or grandchildren, or if you're young and listening and want to try an instrument or are thinking of playing an instrument, it's a great chance to try out violins and trumpets and flutes. And John Keel Music actually makes these instruments available to us.
That's a great
and
idea.
Sponsor our instrument petting zoo. I have to remember to always say instrument
petting zoo.
Right.
Well, that's a great idea.
It's a really fun
thing.
And
you don't get the goat saliva in your hand afterwards. That's
no,
very,
they have
very
it all
nice.
Worked out. Very, yeah. Very hygienic.
It's maybe
all
a little rosin, but
very,
that's all.
Very hygienic.
But you seem to love this stuff, don't you? I mean, getting dressed up and doing it. I mean, some would say, that's what I love about you, is you're able to do that and still, in polite conversation, say coup d'etre. I mean, that's what's beautiful about you, right?
Wait till you hear Beethoven's accent. He has a very convincing Beethovenian accent, I think.
Right.
What do I know?
What I'm saying, you can do that and still be dignified.
Well, yes, at various times, right. And that's one of the things I love about our orchestra is that, early in my career, I actually got quite a reputation going around to the major orchestras doing children's concerts.
Right.
But the danger was...
Cowboy Dave.
But the danger was I was sort of known as, that's the conductor who dresses up and does these funny concerts. And that wasn't necessarily helping my mature interpretation of Bruckner, So I actually curtailed...
Getting you to Carnegie Hall.
I actually curtailed that somewhat about 10 or 15 years ago, doing the New York Philharmonic and the Philadelphia Orchestra and the Detroit Symphony and all those orchestras. And I stopped doing it. And and now I'm sort of willing to go back to do it because I've sort of established myself as a grown-up. But in Albany, it's never been a problem because I always do our serious concerts, our adult concerts.
Well, we know
also,
you.
I also do
you
our know, fun concerts, yeah. And to me, the orchestra and I just love doing exciting things with music in any guise, you know, whether it's our Dogs of Desire new music ensemble during our American Music Festival or whether it's family concerts or going into schools or whatever it might be.
Is there, I don't mean this to have more pressure or meaning than is on the surface.
Oh, just say it, Joe.
But I do think, I mean, do you ever feel a pressure when you go out, or not even a pressure, but an understanding and a knowledge that in that audience, there is one, maybe 20, maybe 50 kids that have never experienced a full orchestra before, and that's your opportunity to make that connection. I mean, to me, that like I would be aware of that.
To me, that's the most exciting thing about it. And I sort of assume that I assume no advanced knowledge or awareness. Yeah. And I kind of do that on our grown-up concerts as well. I want a completely a person who's completely unaware of orchestra to come and hear one of our concerts and fall in love with it. That's my target audience. I believe that the people who already love music don't have to be convinced. They'll enjoy whatever we do. But the Andre Watts is a perfect example of a really just unbelievably beautiful, interesting program that anybody who likes anything should enjoy. And the family concert, the Beethoven Back to the Future, is just a great chance to bring kids who otherwise may not even have an idea who Beethoven is and may think he's the dog from those movies from the 70s, if right. they even remember those, to have an awareness of how this amazing figure lived and created art out of nothing, you know, 200 years ago. So that's the thing I love most. And I must say that the beautiful thing is that we really do bring people to art through our concerts. And I've had people stop me in the supermarket and say, you know, I didn't know anything about music till I started coming to the family concerts. And they've taught me so much about, you know, it's incredibly fun and funny. And hopefully with the best education, nobody knows they're learning anything. But by the end of that 55 minutes, if you didn't know anything about Beethoven, you'll come out with an incredibly broad amount of information about who Beethoven was and what he was and what his ambitions were and why he wrote the music he wrote.
And I assume, because I'm reaching a point in my career where I assume that you're hearing this where people say that they've grown up on you and listening to you and one of their first concerts.
Last year I had a fun experience where I actually wrote about it in our program book about this because it was my 20th anniversary with the orchestra
right.
and this nice lady stopped me at the Price Chopper. I always say to people when they say, are you famous? I say, well, I'm very famous at the Slingerland's Price Chopper. That's about the extent of my fame. In the Slingerland's Price Chopper, I'm like a giant celebrity, but outside of the Slingerland's Price Chopper, I'm not very famous at all. I'm not even known. But some lady stopped me. She said, I just want you to know that my son has been so excited by your family concerts, and it's made him love music. And I said, oh, well, how old is he? She said, 27. And it's because, you know, he came to them 20 years ago.
Right.
But so, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. I love that.
Yeah, it's rewarding. It's very,
really
very
nice.
Nice.
And it's what I love about this community, that it's such a passionate, music-loving community. We have this great audience that really, you know, loves what we do and is willing to come enjoy it.
Well, and again, it speaks volumes that we're, you know, we're able to keep you.
Well, the nice thing, one of the reasons is because the orchestra has gotten so good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beautiful thing about sort of continuity, that I've been here a long time, we've been together a long time, they play, but every year we have auditions and we bring in an ever more impressive group of, you know, usually young musicians from New York and Boston. And so the level of play in the orchestra right now is just dazzling. So that's a whole other reason to come to hear the orchestra.
And you've established a beautiful culture within the orchestra. I mean, we talk a lot about this with some of the major orchestras when they're in town. You know, you get what you think of when you think of the Boston Symphony or the Philadelphia Orchestra, but the Albany Symphony. I mean, you now have cultivated your own culture of what is expected and what that sound is.
But it's always been a very special group who because we're a per service orchestra, which means that we're not like the Boston Symphony, that sadly our musicians don't get paid a salary.
Right.
They're all professional, but they only get paid when they play, and it's not anywhere. It's, you know, a fraction of what the full-time orchestras
right.
make.
It's like tip money.
It's sadly not anything we'd wish for. But our orchestra has always been an incredibly positive, wonderfully passionate group of musicians. I think partly because they're not relying on our orchestra for their complete livelihood. So they're a little bit more relaxed about why they play, and they play for love, and they play with love. And I've just, I it's such a treat to work with them.
Well, you are going to be a busy man, and so here's what's going on. It's you're going to be leading the orchestra. It's Saturday night on the 11th with Andre Watts.
7:30 at the Palace.
At 7:30, and then is there a pre? Is there? A
there isn't because it's
our special concert.
Right at 7:30,
and then right at 7:30, and then on Sunday is Symphony Sunday, and Beethoven will be there, and there's the Instrument Petting Zoo, and that'll be happening an hour before, and the show's at 3 o'clock,
exactly.
And then would you say an hour? That's great.
Barely an hour, but it's perfect. The perfect length, so nobody can get
absolutely
bored.
Absolutely, you still get time to come back and watch the football game.
There's also a beautiful party Saturday night after the Andre Watts concert, so if you're interested in that, call the Albany Symphony office or visit us online at albanysymphony.com to find out about the reception with Andre Watts after the concert.
Albanysymphony.com, and you can find out all that great information. We have it on our website as well, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable, and if you get a chance, also on our website is the interview that that David did with Andre Watts. If you missed it, it's very special to hear.
And a shout out to my beloved Rabbi Spien, who's underwriting this concert largely, whose mother studied with Andre Watts's piano teacher.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's a really nice story.
Mm-hmm.
Best to you, best to the orchestra. Happy New Year. A delight to see you, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Joe. And
it's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.